Kristen Dodge, who is not new to the gallery world.
No, I'm not.
And she's moved here from, I gather, from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And has opened a new gallery.
So your last gallery was called Kristen Dodge or Dodge?
It was Dodge Gallery, yeah.
Why didn't you're feeling less secure about your name now? What's going on? Why did you change your name to
start?
September?
No, Dodge is a good name, but this is a different program, so I wanted to have a different association, I guess. Also, you know, having a business named after you makes it
I can see better.
So much more associated with you and your vision, and I wanted this to feel a little bit more collaborative and open.
And who's our other guest?
That's Little Man.
Little Man.
Little Man would say hi, but he's a small dog.
With
a purple,
hi,
with a purple mohawk.
Yeah,
yep, I see that.
And if you visit the gallery, he will be there.
Oh, that's and it's an inducement to visiting September Gallery. Ellen, do you know where it is?
I do.
That was really more like a way for you to
urging me, letting me in on the conversation.
Well, you're both welcome to visit.
The gallery is in a former Hudson Medical Building.
I've heard different things about the background of the gallery, yeah. So.
And it's, of course, totally renovated and restored and rebuilt.
Job.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Oldie Hudson, as we call it. Old Hudson is right next door.
There's a restaurant going in downstairs.
Downstairs.
That's right. And you are on the second floor.
Second floor. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you noticed since the Democrats came in downstairs, up wherever they are, we suddenly have all this heat? What's with them?
It is hot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Perhaps we can have a little AC.
Oh, that would be strange. But go ahead.
It's near the corner of 5th and Warren.
That's right.
5th and Warren, on the south side of the street.
It's a great location.
It is.
Upstairs, we should notice. Upstairs.
We're not open every day. So
that's important, too.
Having a space upstairs felt like the right move.
Because
we're not really a storefront, in a way.
When you had a gallery in the city, was that open every day?
We were open, Tuesday through the first year it was every day.
Wow.
And then we kind of developed some sanity. And then it was 6 days and then it was 5 days. So.
I've been to the new one. Was the floor space as big in the, or was it
the
bigger?
The old space was huge. It was 2,500 square feet. It was.
And this is what, about 15?
You know, I don't remember. Yeah. It's 1,215. Beautiful space though. My husband helped design it. And it's unusual for Hudson because, you know, the older buildings here, the spaces tend to be a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And dealing with a lot of, you know, architectural, like historical character. And this is a new construction. And so the ceilings are high. It's a big open space with lots of north-facing light. It's a beautiful space. I love just being there. And it's one of the first things people mention when they come up. Hopefully the second time they come in, they'll be focused on the art and not the space itself. But
are lots of people coming, former clients and artists that you've represented coming to visit now?
Yes. It's, you know, I say in due time because it does take time for people to get to Hudson. I actually, before Little Man, no. Before I had the gallery in the city, I worked in Boston. And so I have actually clients and supporters in Boston and New York City, and we're kind of equidistant from the two cities.
Right.
So it works out well in that way. But, Hudson tends to be a pretty busy center for people from Boston and New York that want to get out and come somewhere interesting. That's a real creative hub. It's one of the reasons that we're here. So yes, a lot of the people that I have had a relationship with, a working relationship with, are coming through, whether on their own accord and they were excited to see that we've opened a space or coming up specifically to see us.
Mm-hmm. How many years did you have your New York gallery?
We were there for 4 years. So it felt like a really long time.
And what's your background that made you want to be
an art dealer? Yeah, it's such a dirty word.
You could call yourself a gallerist.
I don't like it. It sounds like a ballerina or something. Gallerina. It's too close to that. I love art. I was an artist. I've always been in the arts. I've always known that I wanted to support the arts in some way or another. And after different professions, I ended up pretty early on, I guess, or it's not different professions, but different jobs, landing a gig at a gallery in Boston. And my first day, I sold a sculpture with the then director owner that was like $15,000. And that was an incredible experience to be able to call the artists and tell them that we had sold this sculpture. And I just felt such a rush from it and knew that it was a good fit and a practical way to support the arts where you can directly impact you know, the well-being of the artist and their ability to continue to pursue their practice. So for me, I always want to remain on that level where I have that close working relationship with the artist so that there's an affirmation with what I'm doing. I can see the direct impact.
Now, do you represent any artists exclusively, or is it that's not how you operate it?
I did in the city when in the city I did represent artists. Now I see it more as supporting, deeply supporting an artist. Artists that I've worked with for a number of years. I've started with three, and there are other younger artists whose work I'm really interested in, but it will take time. I want it to be a slower process. And representing is, it's a complicated thing. I mean, for me, I just take it as supporting the artist in every way that I can. But it can also mean an exclusivity arrangement where other dealers have to work through you to get access to their work. And that's just not what I'm interested in right now. Yeah.
I see you're having an opening on Saturday.
I am. I actually just ran over here. We're in the middle of installing it.
Well, before we get to that, Ellen, the last exhibit, Baby Blue Jeans.
Something like that.
Was that what it's called?
Blue Jean Baby. You know the Elton John song. This is a radio station.
It's funny because I did wonder if it was from the Elton John song. But now that was a thematic show. So did you solicit all those pieces or did they exist prior to the show and you put them together in a show?
It was both. So I knew artists that were working with fabric, denim, mixed media. And from there, it was just research. Some of the works pre-existed the show. They dated from 2007 to 2016, so almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then the research led me to other artists that are working with denim, and you know, but some of the works were new and made for the show. So it's a combination of different avenues that the work came to.
Because I would imagine it'd be much harder to like solicit all new things for a single group show, right? I mean, that would be
plus
a long and complicated process.
Yeah, and I guess I was more interested in meeting the artists where they were and finding pieces that pre-existed or the fact that Gene was already a part of their practice versus imposing a material on their practice and saying, well, this could be interesting. See what you can do with jeans. You know, that's not my approach.
I was fascinated by it. So in other words, you're familiar enough with enough artist work that you saw like, well, there's like
a denim theme.
There's a bunch of people here all working on denim. This is something worth looking into further.
It's such a everyday material, and you know, to see it used in two-dimensional, three-dimensional pieces.
I'm taking inventory.
I know the dog.
2 out of 3 people here are wearing denim.
Oh,
yep. There you go. Yeah. It's a popular material.
It is, and it's interesting to think about as sort of a symbol of an American identity and the history of it and how it was originally intended for male workers, miners, laborers, and was sort of consumed or subsumed by the fashion industry in, I think, the 1950s and became a different kind of a thing. But
So did you see that kind of show more of what you want to do? Are you going to do like individual art?
No, group shows are hard.
Okay.
They're expensive and they're difficult. They're a lot. It's a lot more work, but I do enjoy it, and it brings a lot of people to the gallery.
Right.
And
what was so impressive about it, though. At the same time,
yeah.
You know, to have 13 or so,
16
different artists represented with this link that was real. It wasn't sort of artificially imposed in any way.
No, and they were from all over. I mean, L.A. Mm-hmm. There was one artist from Europe, New York, Boston, all over. But I guess the farthest was Zurich. So, yeah, it was and it was diverse in terms of the age of the artists and in terms of their level of careers. So there were artists that were pretty established and have international and respected careers and then others that are just starting. So that was exciting to me, too. And I think one really informs the other. But group shows they're tough. Yeah. I probably do one a year, but it really does open up the exposure of the gallery and it makes it feel a little bit more community oriented where it's not focused on one particular.
Now, I read that you started with a couple shows in one of Zach Voyer's venues.
You did your research.
And as you know, he's kind of gotten out of being a local gallery owner.
Do you mean the retrospective?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was exploring other spaces at the same time.
Yeah, two galleries.
Yeah. What do you make of that in terms of your own prospects here? I mean, how do you respond to that in the sense of, does it worry you that he didn't keep it going?
No. I don't know. I guess I've always made my own decisions, not necessarily based on the success or failures of others. And I think largely closing a gallery is a decision. People think closing a business is, you're sort of forced to close because of financial reasons. But I think a lot of it comes, you know, with some soul searching and maybe some practical decisions. But I spent 2 years deciding to not run a gallery and then suddenly ran a gallery again. So I've had enough time to think of all the bad reasons why not all the reasons why not to do this again. But no, Zach's in a good place. You know, he's still very much supporting art and just not in a physical space at this moment in Hudson.
Does he still have a city place?
He does. Yeah. Oh, Foyer okay. Messler. Yep.
Yeah.
What brought you to Hudson? I mean, how did you discover Hudson?
Hudson is a place I learned pretty quickly through artists, that is just a highly creative community. And it's not just visual artists, but I mean, you guys know all of this. There's incredible musicians, writers, and well-known actors. And I think there's a commonality too, in that we're all highly creative people, but we're looking for a little bit of a respite or a way to pursue our disciplines with some measure of, you know, quiet and focus without needing the frenetic energy of the city to give us purpose. I gathered that my husband and I gathered that pretty quickly. We wanted to be in a little bit more of a rural area, but that was still creative and had access to the city.
Well, there are some 30 galleries now, I'm told. I haven't sat down to count them myself, but do you get a lot of foot traffic?
We do.
On Warren Street?
No one believes me when I say this, but we've had as good foot traffic as we did on the Lower East Side. But granted, that's summer, and then September, October. The winter, there's no way that's going to sustain. And we may close for a month or two and do some art fairs. But yeah, I mean, I imagine a lot of businesses here have trouble with the seasonal shifts in terms of their foot traffic. But again, the art business is not so much about walk-ins. For me, it is in terms of validating what we're doing and having conversations and the community being involved. But in terms of, you know, sales and income, it's less reliant on people walking in and more the long-term relationships that we've developed.
Speaking of months of or seasonal changes having an influence, there's also a problem in Hudson that it's a weekend street.
Yes.
Warren Street is. It's not not a lot of people stay open on Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday. And there's always a big push to have that happen by the people that are open. And it's embarrassing in a way to be walking on Warren Street and somebody stop you and say, we just came to town and we realized that the shops aren't open and where can we have lunch? You know?
Ellen's easily embarrassed. I tell him tough luck.
Embarrassed is the wrong word.
Come back on the weekend like everybody else.
You know, people are always saying, I stay open every day of the week, and Monday so-and-so came in from England and bought a, you know, something rather. I don't know if it'll ever change. It might. I think it's leading to that there will be a greater push to get people to stay open.
When we interviewed Zach Foyer a number of years ago when he first came to Hudson, and one of the things he said was that he wasn't really focusing on the walk-in people as actual buyers, but that he had relationships with collectors established already, and you're sort of saying the same thing. Are a lot of those collectors coming up from the city, or are they all over? I mean, they come from Columbia County even, or?
I hear there are collectors in Columbia County, and I invite them to visit the gallery. It's people from the city. Yeah, taking a train, or a lot of them already come up here or Great Barrington, you know, the area already seems to be on the radar of a lot of people in the city. If it's not up here, it's the Hamptons, I guess. But I'd rather be here.
And you say you might take stuff to some art fairs. Does that mean you have a lot of artwork in storage somewhere, or
no?
How does that
work? It's like having an exhibition, but in a really short time frame.
So you solicit.
It's a trade show, and it's a challenge for me in a lot of ways. It's one of the reasons why I decided to leave the business a couple of years ago. I think it's a very difficult arena for an artist to make work for, and for viewers to fully appreciate and take the time to learn about an artist practice. It's a very high pace, over inundated. It's an intense environment, and it's a very short lived.
It's become this weird spectacle. Some of these fairs, and it's more about who's attending them and what kind of parties go on. And
definitely.
Not that I've ever been to one.
But you got it. That's it. But it is really great for you and your program and the artists to get a lot of exposure and to meet contacts that you wouldn't otherwise have, you know, come across. So they tend to be, if not immediately, you know, financially giving you a return in the long run, they usually do.
And you get to go to Florida in the winter. No, Ornamentum,
Miami.
And a number of other galleries.
Yep, that's right.
And
Stefan.
Stores tend to go to.
Do you really develop collectors in a venue like that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of curators are going to art fairs and doing their research there. It's replaced seeing exhibitions studio visits. And so, but I understand. I mean, there's so many artists, there's so many galleries. How can you see it all? And it's a way to do, it's like one-stop shopping. You get to hit all of your, you know, check all your boxes, you know, reconnect with the people you need to reconnect with in a short period of time and feel like you've done it all. But, you know, you miss the opportunity to really dig into the work and revisit a show. And there's just too much now.
Do you still do studio visits?
I do so many studio visits.
And what do you use? Do you just sort of rely on what you read in the art press? Or I mean,
in terms of how I find artists?
Yeah.
It's word of mouth. It's artists that I've tracked. Well, there's certain artists that I've been following, so I will continually revisit them, you know, periodically every 6 months or more often. And then others that I'm interested in who are on my radar that I would like to have a more intimate sort of view into understanding their practice, and then others that have been introduced to me. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I try. I wish I could do more than I do. And in the city, I hardly did any because I didn't have time.
Have you discovered any artists here in Columbia County?
Interesting. Annie Bielski is a really great young artist. She's a painter, writer, performer, comedian. She cannot be contained. She is very, very funny, and I think she's exciting.
I noticed that you did a show with Nancy Shaver.
Yes.
Who lives here in Hudson.
She was in...
I think she lives in Hudson. She has a store here anyway.
She has a store here. She lives outside of Hudson. She is amazing. I called her the godmother of that show because she's taught so many of the other artists that were in the show, and her involvement with Bard, and she just is a highly respected artist with, you know, a broad career, a successful career. She had a show at MoMA and was in the Greater New York show at PS1.
Didn't she have a Guggenheim Fellowship a couple of years ago?
I can't say that for sure. I wouldn't doubt it.
You know,
it,
Ellen, Annie's BFF.
Excuse me?
Annie Bielski is a BFF of mine.
He's still on Annie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I interrupted. I took us off track.
We're talking about Nancy now.
I know. But Ellen thinks I know everyone and they're all my BFFs, but they are.
She's hard.
I guess
not,
so.
She's hard not to like.
This proves it.
But the thing with Nancy that's interesting is that she was the quote local, one of the quote local artists in the show, but she's had one of the strongest careers.
Yeah.
So I loved that contradiction of people's, and sort of messing with people's expectations. Like, oh, have you met local artists? Mm. Yeah. Well, Connor Backman is also very talented. I don't know if
speaking of which.
Yes.
Do you remember the art fair we had for GXE?
Oh, yes.
You know, I got the Connor Backman.
You did?
Lucky you.
And now a gallery is asking to borrow it. How fancy is that?
Amazing. That's super
I know,
fancy.
Right? I'm like a collector.
Watch out.
Come to the gallery.
Yeah.
Connor has a show opening at Albany.
Yeah, that's the
University
show.
University of Albany, yeah. Corinna.
Our piece will be in it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's going to increase the value.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Taylor Davis is going to be having an opening reception at September.
Mm-hmm.
It's not September Galleries, just plain September, right?
I like September because we will be doing other programming. I hope to invite writers to do readings and performances and things like that. So September felt more open-ended, but if it's more accessible to say gallery, I'm
By the way, Ellen, you do remember we interviewed Connor Backman here as well.
We did.
We've interviewed
That's right.
everybody.
He was working for Zach.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. Retrospective.
He was working for Zach Foyer.
He had a show there, too.
He had a show
really
there, too.
Great show.
Yeah. But He's this show excellent. Is with someone named Taylor Davis, who turns out, I think, is a woman.
Yes.
And something called Red, Green, Black, White.
Oh, this is the new show we're doing.
This is the new show. This is our first solo show.
Taylor Davis.
I'm very excited about.
So tell us all about
Does that describe it?
Well, Taylor...
Red, Green, Black, White?
That describes the bulk of the work, yes. There are works that are wall hung, and she does not consider them to be paintings. The medium happens to be paint, or she'll prefer to say color. But they're very object-like, and Taylor's mostly known, I'd say, earlier on for her more built sculptures, wood. She's an incredible craftsman, but also a highly conceptual artist. And I think one of the most successful artists is able to bridge the two. So in the show, there'll be floor pieces, wall pieces, built pieces, collages. Yeah.
When is that going to open?
It's going to be this Saturday. And it's a perplexing show. It's not work that you can immediately wrap your mind around. She's very interested in contradiction and opposites and things working simultaneously that seem to be at the opposite end of the spectrum, like black, white, red, green, stop, go.
So is there an opening reception?
There is.
And Ellen.
And you are welcome to come.
Well, Ellen most of all wants to know. Look, she's already got her hand
Ellen.
Up. She wants to know.
6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday. Yeah. And there's
She only comes if there's white wine.
There will be white wine.
And snacks. And snacks.
I've been known to drink red wine.
Really?
Yes.
Did I lead you into that? No?
No.
She's diversified her palate. Yeah. Have you all had a relationship with galleries before? What is your perception of art galleries?
In Hudson?
Good or bad? Mm-hmm. No, in general.
I don't like to go to openings because I don't like to see work with a lot of other people.
Well,
slurping
also,
their
you
wine.
Can't usually can't look at it and you.
Right.
And
it's true.
You, see somebody you know and you're
oh as you remember that
talk
that,
about other yeah. things
that photography open where
that's right
where
it's a
you
social event
get in the way, everybody got in the way
where was that
at Vince Mulford's you know it wasn't really
oh yeah
art per
right.
se but
right.
you know it was a opening and everybody
speaking
just
speaking of that there used to be a beautiful photography gallery here
I've heard this
Carrie Haddad had,
oh yeah
and she still deals in a lot of photographs I think maybe she even has a space across the street from where she is now. She's at the corner of 6th.
Yeah.
She was the first, kind of the first gallery here.
Mm-hmm.
She's when
been
I
here
came,
for 20 years.
Yeah, I came about the same time when she moved up from Germantown, I guess. But she pretty quickly moved to the where she is now. And I loved going to that photography gallery. I fell in love with photographs.
Mm.
I have to tell you, when I was young and would go pass by galleries in New York City, I always felt very intimidated. Because there was no one, you know, during the day, when it's not
mm-hmm,
an opening,
mm-hmm.
it just seems so, you know, like...
Stark and stuffy.
Yeah, and like, are you really just supposed to go in if you have no money? You know, that kind
yes.
of thing? Whereas,
Well,
you know,
here, if you go... am I just at the reception for the peanuts and the wine?
Well, that's why you're there, right? I'm not sure. I'm asking. Are you selling
no,
us that?
No, it's not. But, you know, 20 years ago, an opening at Carrie's gallery was a big deal. You got all dressed up, and you went to the reception, and then you went next door to Mama Rose's and had, you know, pasta.
It's funny you mention
but
that, Ellen, because...
It was a social occasion, and it still is for a lot of people.
I've noticed the kind of arc of Hudson dressing up and down.
Uh-huh. Tell us.
When I first came here, people were so desperate for an excuse to put on a male case, put on, or even a female's case, put on a tie and jacket. And then as I've been here, I've seen it going back to like another opening.
denim.
I'm not going to change.
It's because denim.
I'm just off the farm. I'm going to wear the jeans, you know.
It's because denim has taken a different place.
No,
in the
I think there's just too many things going on now. So everybody's like, I mean, the Opera House galas used to be pretty fancy. Now people are wearing a, you know,
anything
denim.
They want.
Yeah. How dare they? Ellen says to herself.
Well, it depends on the venue, doesn't it?
So do you live up in the county full time now?
Yes, we moved here full time 2.5 years ago. Oh. Yep. Openings are definitely just. They're, from my perspective, a celebration. It's a way to celebrate the artist, welcome people to the show.
That's the best thing, if you can meet the artist.
And then, you know, and then come back. You're right. It's not the time to see to see art. But there aren't that many galleries here.
I know. I don't know how they've counted that. I'm going to go out and do it someday.
Or there are different kinds of galleries.
Yeah.
I mean, I position myself in the Lower East Side to be around a lot of great younger programs and there were a lot, and there are even more now. And I kind of, part of me feels that I moved up here and opened the space without a lot of company, at least showing the same, you know, kind of work that we're showing. Jeff Bailey, I would say, is in the same school.
It's a good gallery.
Yeah, he's great. And he's been here now for 4 years, I think.
Three, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And he moved from Chelsea. I don't think this is not a sign of an influx of dealers coming up here.
I think there are a lot of sort of antique stores that think of themselves as kind of being gallery-esque.
Yes.
You know, there are people calling themselves galleries of a sort, you know, who put on a show now and then of something.
Yeah.
But in terms of just straight art galleries like yours, there aren't that many.
Mm-hmm. I do think that the gallery, it's not a secret that it tends to be pretty intimidating to your everyday person who doesn't gallery go on a regular basis. And that's something that's always really bothered me. So we work hard to not have that kind of a vibe and to be accessible as much as possible and available to answer questions and just not subscribe to the intimidation factor. But I think also it's a busy factor. When you're too busy, you tend to answer quickly or not answer at all. And so, you know, here there's just more time, and I think people are more willing to take more time when they visit the shows, and
we
have more time to talk with people that are coming in. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not liking openings myself, at the same time, going into gallery and being the only one there has its own.
Do you like that feeling? No.
I do.
You feel
but
watched?
Yeah. Like, oh, is this like just somebody coming in to look, or are they a potential collector, you know? And I'm like, don't count on me because I've got nothing.
Well, if you know that most people that walk in, we know, are not buying, that we're really open as
that's good to know.
To welcome the public, then
you want people to see it. You don't just want to sell.
Absolutely. There's a conversation. Right. The artists, you know, I could sell from their studio, but I'd rather, and they would rather have their work in the public, engaging, especially with other, I would say, especially with other artists, honestly. And up here, the Bard contingent is huge, and Taylor is the co-chair of the grad sculpture department at Bard, and you know Nancy teaches there, and there's just a lot of artists that are involved there and faculty that come through. So that's an exciting reason to start a gallery. Not a reason, but I would say helps support.
Do you ever go to like MFA exhibits at Bard and things like that?
I did. For the first time I did this, when was it? This summer, I guess. And it was exciting. There were a lot of people there. And there was some really good work. It was some of the best I'd seen at an MFA program. And then, you know, the museum there has top level shows and they have great artist talks. It's a great place to be near and to have accessible.
Are you planning to have performing arts too? You started out having I can't remember what it was. Dance, I think.
Yeah. How to describe Flucht? They're amazing. And Annie Bielski opened, and then Constance Tenvik was the second performer, and then Flucht, and that was curated by Amber Aceva. Do you guys know her? Okay. So she used to work with Zach, and then worked with me,
what?
And now she's.
You don't know her, Tom?
She doesn't live in Hudson.
You do.
Oh, Amber! I know Amber.
You can't forget
I do
Amber.
Know Amber. Tall.
She
yes.
only left. Couple, yes. You know, a month or so ago.
Yes, I do know Amber.
She's a curator now in Virginia and at a new ICA there, and she's actually coming back this weekend. Excited to see her. She'll be at the opening. So anyway, she curated that first performance night, and we're calling the series Arcade Block. But there's really no financial return on doing that, and it does cost money. And so I'm thinking about different ways where we could help support that longer term, and maybe, you know, do it more frequently. Right now, I imagine it's probably going to be twice a year, but I've talked with a casting director who lives in town, and she's very interested in having actors do readings and giving people access to that moment of creativity happening right there. Mm-hmm. And then writers, very talented writers who are interested in curating a group of writers to do readings. And so it's flexible. How many times will we do it? I'm not sure yet, but it will be an ongoing thing. Yeah.
Great. So. Well, is that whole building called the Arcade? It has a name.
It does. I'm not sure anyone knows that, but it is called the Arcade Building. I don't know why. That was the reasoning for calling the performance series the Arcade Block series.
I think it was meant to emphasize that overhang in the front of, is there an overhang?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. The overhang in the front of the building.
I don't know.
Yeah. Which was added. Was not.
Gave it a little class to have a.
Oh, really? You think so?
I do.
Does your friend from the Gossips of Rivertown agree with that?
You'd have to ask her, Tom.
It is a different building, though, yeah. Isn't it? And it stands out.
Right. It doesn't have the same streetscape as the rest of the block.
Yeah, although our visibility is not great because we are on the second floor and there's a black door with our name on it.
Not even in a line, so it's hard to read.
The letters are all jumbled. I don't know what we were thinking that day. But our branding is fun. On the website, it changes. There's a algorithm, I guess, that is infinitely changing, so the letters will always be scrambled in a different way every time you refresh the page.
Oh, like Google.
Like your brain.
Yeah, like your brain. Well.
So, Saturday, an opening.
Mm-hmm. Opening in Hudson.
Taylor Davis.
Everybody's welcome.
What time is the opening?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
There will be one.
Ellen will be there.
I bet you will.
Know. We'll see what Saturday brings.
Yeah. You know, there's so much going on in our humble little burg that you never know.
So you do this show every day?
No, God forbid.
Oh. Once a week. Quite enough.
Okay.
Ellen means she couldn't put up with me for another 2 hours.
Well, no, I couldn't put up with having to do the booking and everything, you know, twice as much.
Especially when they cancel.
Yeah, I leave all the booking to Ellen because that's the hard part.
They do.
When booking time comes, he says, well, it's your show.
Your problem.
He calls it my show.
So. Exactly.
How long have you been doing it together?
Forever. Like, do we grow
couple
up together?
Of years.
We've known each other since high school.
No. No, one day I didn't have an engineer, and I can't, like, if I touch that board, it'll
that
know,
board's
be
scary.
I was supposed to just run the board, but I couldn't keep
but
quiet.
But he couldn't stop talking.
That's right.
Well, that's right.
And it was kismet. It was kismet. Our eyes met across the room.
Across a crowded room.
Across the microphone.
Not so crowded.
With the microphone right between your eyes like
that. Yeah.
Anyway. It's always fun to imagine a radio voice and what the person behind
actually
the voice
looks
actually
like,
looks like.
You know, there are times when I leave the studio and I said, why am I doing this? It was so difficult.
Just the opposite of me. I leave here thinking, I'm walking on clouds. I just love radio. I do.
Well, I love radio, too. That's what brings me back. But
And you're raising money now?
We're
pledge drive.
Our pledge drive's over, but we'll still take money, yes.
Yeah.
6977 Never too late. Exactly.
You don't have to pay to play.
No,
that's,
you don't have to.
That's for sure.
So we almost made our goal. It was close. So
it was very.
How short are you?
About $1,500, roughly, somewhere around there.
Right.
$1,600, which you know, out of 20,000, that's not bad.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But there's probably some stragglers out there.
Well, your dog is very well behaved.
Sort of.
It's an art dog.
Little man.
How old is little man?
He's 6. And he got this mohawk for Halloween. He's got a purple mohawk.
Yeah.
He hangs out with me at the gallery almost all day. We have 2 other dogs. But he has to come with me because he whines too much for my husband to handle. So.
Uh-huh.
Yes, a whiny dog.
But he's very well behaved at the gallery. I wonder if that's what happens to people when they come to galleries. They suddenly become very well behaved.
Especially if there's a big, ferocious dog. Which he's not, by the way.
Anyway, well, thank you guys.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Once again, Taylor Davis opening this Saturday, which is what date, Ellen? I don't know.
The 5th.
November 5th. The September Gallery. The number on Warren is 449.
Second floor.
The south side of the street. Above.
Can we mention that too?
Oldie Hudson.
Yes. Kristen sent an email through about something that's happening at Omar. Oh,
Omar.
Omar International Arts Center out in Ghent. A conversation with Nicole Cherubini. Mm-hmm. In conversation with the curator there, Nicole Hayes.
You know Nicole. She's been on our show.
Oh, yes, she was.
Yes.
You're right. Everybody's
Just assume everybody has been on the show.
No, some people more than once, but
it's Sunday morning.
And Cherubini is having an exhibition there.
It's a beautiful show.
She had a exhibition in retrospective.
That was me.
Are you curated that?
Yeah.
That was the one you okay.
The exhibition
it's all coming together
called There Is a Road. Guests are invited to join us in attending a conversation and talk between the artist and the curator, Nicole Hayes. Free and open to the public.
Yay.
Light Excellent. Refreshments, 11 a.m. Sunday, November 6th.
And the time's changing.
Aha, that's right. Don't forget to set your clocks back. Mm-hmm. So. Back, not forward.
Back.
Fall back.
Will you call me in the morning and remind me?
No.
Will you call me too, please?
You know, we have a lot of information services going, but that's not one of them. No, sorry. You could call me and say, I changed my clock back.
Okay.
Moved my clock back, and I would be very assured of that.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
So I wouldn't have to worry.
I know you worry. Anyway, we've been talking to Kristen Dodge.
Yes, we have.
Art dealer. At the new gallery, September, not in September, because it's obviously November. It's called September, and it's 449 Warren Street, and it has a new show going on. Hold on, little man. We're almost done. I feel like I'm talking to like I had a son in here, you know? Well, little man, someday you'll grow up and be able to be on the air. Saturday night, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
6 to 8.
The opening. Taylor Davis. Open to the public. Free.
Light refreshments.
Not in your case.
Good
anyway.
Company. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's say, do we have to go to the news yet? No, we got a couple minutes. I'll put on some music, Ellen.
Thanks for coming, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
That was fun. Bye. And thank you, little man.
Thank you, little man.